If you just joined us, it's good to have you company. This is Connections Radio, Glenn Thompsett and Paul Harvey with you. And Paul, always nice to welcome a fresh new face to the studio of Connections Radio. Who have we got today?
Oh, and we have indeed Lara Squires. Lara, lovely. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you. And Lara founded Consortium.
So we are a marketing and business development agency, and we specialise in the professional service sector.
Okay, so for the uninitiated, what exactly does that mean? What do you do to companies? How do you help them?
We help companies get more business. And in some instances, we help them retain market share if it's just about that, because you can't stand still anymore in the professional service sector. So professional services would be lawyers, accountants, financial advisors, people like that.
When did you set up?
In January 2013.
And where are you based?
Worthing.
Right, all the credentials now.
It's all there. And did you see like a huge gaping hole in the market in the area that you live for your service provider?
It's less about where I live and more about just actually the sector. So I had spent 7 years working as marketing and business development for a regional law firm. And part of my job there was to work with smaller firms where they didn't have specialisms to help them refer to us, and we'd help their clients. And in meeting those smaller firms, I realised that they needed some help with marketing in general. Whether they agreed was possibly the conversation to be had, but they definitely needed help. And that was the kind of start of the idea of setting up the business.
Which sectors do you deal with most? Are you dealing with lawyers more than any other sector?
It's my comfort zone because I've been a fee earner as well as having worked in-house doing the marketing. It's my comfort zone. Most of our clients are lawyers, but we also have a couple of insolvency practitioner clients and some accountancy clients.
So you're a qualified lawyer?
No, I'm non-qualified.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
You just called yourself a fee earner.
Terminology for you.
Yes, no, exactly.
So I went to work for the firm that I then went back to later as a marketing person, as a conveyancing assistant to start with. And you don't need to actually be qualified to practice conveyancing as long as you're in a law firm. So I gradually over time demonstrated that I was good at what I did and built up a caseload with supervision from a qualified lawyer. Mm-hmm. But I was never qualified. I did look into the exams, and I have full respect for the solicitors out there because it is horrible what they have to learn. Mm. And some of it, dare I say, the law is a little bit stupid because we have laws that are still in existence from the 1900s.
And they'll never change.
No. Well, it's kind of somebody's got to have time to look at it and think they need changing.
It's like in the government, the 1922 committee. What's that all about? But that's a different subject.
Yeah. We could go on.
At least you can't still be hung in Tyburn anyway. I'm glad that was...
Absolutely. Yeah.
That was stopped. When you set up the business, recall back to that time. What were the major challenges and the major hurdles that you came up against?
So I actually set up the business initially with a business partner. So she'd been made redundant, so kind of had nothing to lose. From my perspective, I was working part-time because I had young children. So in my spare time, if there is such a thing when you have children, I was looking at what we were going to do, who we might talk to, how we might start the business. So obviously the biggest challenge is, where do we get clients from? Mm. We were incredibly lucky in the marketing. If you're going to set up a marketing business, it's very lean. You don't need premises. You don't need flashy equipment. So we didn't have huge overheads going into the business. We worked from my business partner's home, so we didn't have any of those overheads. So that was a big relief, because I think if you set yourself up initially with all of those expenses, you can set yourself up to fail, really. We were very fortunate to secure a client before I actually left my firm, because in my spare time I was having conversations. So we actually hit the ground running. And I think that is definitely some advice I would give to anybody who is looking to set up on their own. Have something secured before you kind of take that leap.
So you knew that person then, that client you knew before, as you went your own way, you knew that client.
So I, very fortunately, my background is sales and I know a lot of people. I like networking. In my job when I was in-house at the law firm, I went to the opening of an envelope. So I was at breakfast, lunches and dinners. So I knew a lot of people, which made life easier for me. So I could start having conversations as soon as I knew I was leaving with people that I thought I could help. And obviously I had a 3-month notice period, so I had quite a lot of time to have those conversations.
So that would be your first bit of advice to anybody wanting to set up a similar thing to what you do, is know your first client.
Well, no, I'd say don't do it, because I don't want someone setting up similar to what
I do.
Of course you'd say that,
absolutely. You say on your website, helping you make the right moves. Is it apparent that a lot of people don't make the right moves?
Yes. I think particularly in the sectors we work in, lawyers have trained to be lawyers, not business people. Similarly with accountants. Personally, I think accountants possibly have a bit of a better grasp of business in general because they're dealing with businesses day to day. But lawyers don't go to law school, train in a specialism to run a business. They are experts at what they do. That can present its own challenges because they're very used to being very good at what they do. Sometimes taking direction from somebody else can be a challenge for them. It's something that we really enjoy doing.
So getting back to my original question was about the challenges that you encountered quite early on. Could that have been related to how the people, your clients, accepted the recommendations that you put forward? Was that difficult?
Yeah, a lead time of winning a client is difficult in
so
what we do.
So that's a key challenge, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's taken some clients, it's taken us 3 years to win as a client. Yeah,
that's a long burn time.
But over those 3 years, you're building a relationship. So when you do win them as a client, it's for the right reasons. They're definitely bought into it. You know them. You like them. But one of the nicest things about having my own business is I'll only work with people that I like because life's too short. But answering your question, Paul, one of the biggest challenges, and I do some business coaching as well, and it's certainly something I see with other people, is staff. Staff's the biggest challenge, I think, for most businesses, because nobody does things as well as you do yourself, or you would perceive they don't do it as well as you do yourself. And they leave, or you've got to manage their needs and wants and expectations, and that can definitely be a challenge. I'm hugely fortunate. I have a very great team, two of which have been with me 3 years now. But sometimes you make the wrong decision. You're not quite sure what person you're looking for, or the person coming to you doesn't know if they want to do what they're coming to do. So you do lose staff, and that can be hugely disruptive, particularly as a small business.
And it's obviously very useful for you to have a sales background as well, because I can imagine that when you're trying to encourage your clients to implement certain ideas that you put forward, it can only work if that client then sells that opportunity to their clients in some way or other. Do you find that in, say, taking accountants and lawyers, they're not very good or need to be better at closing the opportunity down to get the business?
Yeah, 100%. We do quite a lot of work with a mystery shopping company, and they do a national study on law firms particularly, and they tend to get about 1% follow-up. Lawyers just don't follow up in the main. So it's a massive missed opportunity. It's a benefit from having a sales background because I can train them how to do it, and it makes it easier for my business to win work because I know how to sell. The downside is I get really frustrated because I know how it should be done, but I don't believe you can teach people to be salespeople. You can give them some skills and you can help them. But particularly in the law, there is a reluctance. I mean, sales is a dirty word. Mm. So there's a huge amount of education to be done around them, putting themselves in their clients' shoes to understand it's not selling, it's helping. Clients come to them to ask for a price for doing some work. Following up is actually a helpful thing to do. It's not pushy. So there's just lots of education to be done there, I think.
I can perfectly understand that. And I guess the idea is to take things in bite-sized chunks, practice small things, put small things in place that can make a real difference to the bottom line. 5% increase on conversion levels, they're moving up to 10%, can make a real difference, can't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I think with the mystery shopping, if they have a third party telling them that actually they would have loved to have been followed up, once they start hearing that message, and if we could just get one lawyer in one of our clients to do what we're telling them to do, they will see, like you say, they'll see the return on what they're doing because they'll start to get people signing up and using them more. And then once the other lawyers see that that's happening, it's a kind of the snowball effect that they'll all copy and start doing it.
Okay, moving away from lawyers for the moment, which sectors are you working on at the moment that need your services?
Everyone needs our services.
Of course. Good answer. Good answer.
being sold to him.
Good answer.
Apparently, my husband says I do it without realising. So, it's a sign of a natural salesperson, apparently. Who needs our services at the moment? So, accountants are going through a lot of change. We have Tax Digital coming in the next couple of years, which is kind of commoditising what accountants do. So, they're moving more into being business advisors. So, I think that they need to think about their marketing of that and also involve the end user in what a business wants from their accountants. How should they be marketing themselves and how should they be packaging that? So whether they're receptive to the fact they should be thinking and doing that, some and some. Lawyers have gone through a huge amount of change, and I think all law firms need help with marketing just to stand still. And I think that's the biggest challenge for a lot of professional service firms. They're going to have to invest in marketing, but they might not make more money. but they need to do it just to stay where they are because there's so much more competition that if they don't, they'll start to go backwards.
Yeah, it's holding market share, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just having your share of voice in the marketplace.
Mm. Yeah, they're having to spend more and more year on year.
To achieve that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And equally, they have to think outside the box. So it's not necessarily about placing, I mean, personally, I'm not a massive fan of paper advertising, but it's not about placing that paper advert. It's about thinking, well, how else can we engage with our customers and could we send them something interesting? Could we, you know, we were talking off air earlier about video. Could they and should they be putting things into videos? Is that how consumers want to be engaged with? So they just need to think slightly differently. Just because it's something they've always done doesn't mean it's the right way to do it.
Changing their mindset, that must be quite a challenge in itself, I would have thought.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You do a lot of coaching and training, don't you? What exactly does that encompass?
Well, I love doing the coaching and training. That's what makes me excited. I don't really like being stuck at my desk, but it's everything from the marketing suite of stuff. So marketing strategy, we've got some videos on our website of talks that we've done. So we've got marketing strategy, social media, which even now people aren't using effectively. And it can be a huge waste of time. So it's making sure that they're using it with a purpose. We also train on kind of creating your X factor, which is about client care and thinking about it from your client's perspective and brand you. Because particularly with professional services, there's a brand that they work for, so the company, but actually they need to appreciate that they've got their own individual brand because people buy people. Mm-hmm. So we do some training around that as well. And the business coaching is all around business development. So it's about helping businesses grow.
Fascinating up to this point. Brilliant. So let's take a quick break and we're going to ask you to please select a music track for us to play. Have you got something in mind that we can...
I'd imagine that Laura's got quite an eclectic taste of music.
Do you think so?
You'd like a
I think you've
spectrum.
Already had an insight because we've had a conversation. I also am terrible at knowing artists and song names, so I've had to dredge my memory to think of some. So we're going old school to start with.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah. Cyndi Lauper and Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Have fun.
Cyndi Lauper there, back from the 80s, I do believe, if my memory serves me correctly. Girls Just Wanna Have Fun. That's the choice of our guest today on Connections Radio, Lara Squires. Lara is Managing Director of consortiumbiz.co.uk. Relevant to that song, Lara? Girls Just Wanna Have Fun?
Oh, do you know what? I think it's from going to pubs with my dad. He was a landlord. Oh. And so it's a bit of an anthem of my childhood. But also my daughter's now, who's 9, has decided she loves it. So when it comes on in the car, it's a bit of a girly sing-along.
Okay,
back to business.
Back to business.
Lara, you're a very busy person, and which is great to have you here, actually, in between the so many things that you're up to. Tell us about the business book review that you do now. And that's been going on, that's been happening for about a year or so. But tell us more about that. It's fascinating.
It's slightly a selfish pursuit. I have a business mentor, and he told me I needed to read more business books. And like many people, I think I probably lean more towards trashy novels that I read on my Kindle. So finding motivation to read these business books was a challenge for me. So the book club was kind of born out of that, in that if I had other people coming to review a book with me, I had to read it. So that was born, basically, off the back of that. We've read about 4 books so far. So we're meeting quarterly now. It used to be bi-monthly, but that was too much for me. Okay. So we're now going quarterly. And also, there's quite a lot with these business books that you then need to implement. So you do need the time to kind of reflect on what it's told you should do, whether it's life-changing stuff or whether it's business implementation things. So that's going really well.
So it's a bit of a round table. You all get around a table talking about the books, the salient points of a particular book. And
we do. And being exceptionally lazy, sometimes I don't actually finish the book, but helpfully everyone else that comes tells me what I missed.
Good idea.
Okay, this is going to make great radio content.
It is.
Which we did touch on before the interview. So I think what we're going to do is invite you and the team to conduct the session one day here in the studio. Oh,
Lara's Book Club. I can hear the title is Lara's Book Club.
Are we going to review the book you have in your hand?
Now, okay.
So this is a book which I think actually would be good to review. And it's Grow Your Business Fast. And it's by John McCulloch, who is the evil ball genius. And we have featured John on Connections Radio. We're running a series of interviews with John, which features a lot of stuff that's in his book. And it's fascinating. So should we put that on the agenda?
I think we should. And I liked the fact that in the video clip you shared with me, he said you can have your money back if you don't like the book. Bold claim.
That's a USP, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is a USP.
It is.
Absolutely. And he's quite a character. Yeah, listen out for him. John McCulloch. Yeah, great guy.
Okay, so book club, business book club. Anything else that takes up your time? You've got a horse, I believe, as well.
I have a horse, yeah. So I try and skive off work as much as I can to go to the horse. Who wouldn't? Yeah.
So is that you racing across the South Downs at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Bit of everything. So he's an ex-racehorse, and he's my stress reliever, really, because running a business is stressful. So going out into the middle of the countryside and going very fast so you can't think about anything is quite good fun.
The vision for the future, Lara, let's just close our eyes, fast forward 5 years from now. Where do you see your business?
Do you know, I don't know. And my business mentor, current and past mentors, get frustrated with me. If you ask me, what does the future hold? World domination, obviously, but probably not in the next 5 years. I'm happy for it to grow at a very steady, organic pace, because work-life balance is really important for me. Mm. And I think it's something that people should really remember, particularly if anyone's thinking of setting up their own business or if they're in the early years. I've met a couple of quite influential business people recently who have subsequently retired, having sold very successful businesses. Mm. So for example, I don't work a Monday. And they have said to me that if they had their time again, they would love to do something like that. They worked far too hard through what are effectively sometimes the best years of your life with young families, and you're never going to get that time back.
Interesting.
So, I just think you don't have to kill yourself.
Do you know, that is an interesting thing, and I've mentioned this to a couple of guests previously, that a number of years ago I did some work with Lloyd's of London, the insurance brokers, and it was an interview with their human resources department, the head of HR, and she said one of the most common questions now from people that come into the company, young ex-uni graduates who maybe have landed a job with Lloyd's of London, the first question is not what am I going to get paid, it's what is my work-life balance going to be here?
Wow, that is interesting.
The top of the list is now what is my work-life balance, not what am I going to earn, which is fascinating.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, my husband and I have debates, is probably the right term, about this frequently, because he's very much, I'm going to earn as much as I can now so I can have a good retirement. But I lost my dad at 63. So for me, he didn't get to retirement. So there's a large part of my mind that thinks you might not get there. Obviously, hopefully we do. But I want to enjoy now. And also my children won't be, and they're 8 and 9. They're not going to be 8 and 9 forever. And I want to enjoy the now with them as well as, and also enjoy what I do. I think if you spend 70 hours a week working, you might lose the love for what it is you're trying to do.
Well, you might lose your energy as well. Mm. And that's very important. You've also mentioned, of course, about your mentor. Mm. Can you name your mentor?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no problem. So my current mentor is, I do get through them. They are still all friends. But my current mentor is David Gilroy. He runs a very successful digital marketing company that specializes in the law firms, right. Based out of Bristol. So they do websites and digital stuff.
And how long has he been working with you?
Well, I've known David for about 10 years, and he has been my mentor probably for the last 3 years.
Okay.
As a business owner, you need to be held accountable because you could, lazy is the wrong word, but you could be lazy, for want of a better word. And he helps challenge me, hold me accountable. So it was his fault that I set up the book club, which was a happy thing in the end. And prior to David, I worked with someone called Jonathan Winchester, who's a local very successful businessman.
So the point is, to someone that's setting up business, get yourself a mentor quite early on.
I would say so.
Would you say that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
You don't need to necessarily pay to have a coach. If you have a large budget and you like working with coaches, then definitely go that route. But all of my mentor relationships have been, I take them for lunch and they chat to me.
Okay.
So it's more of an informal kind of friendship relationship rather than someone paying somebody to do it. And I myself, I mentor CIM members, CIM's Chartered Institute of Marketing. Mm. So there's kind of, I'm doing some giving back as well. So when these people that get mentors, if they are willing to do it in their future as well, I think it's all about that whole giving back.
You mentioned briefly earlier in the first part of the chat before we played music about social media and that you're amazed at the number of people that you go to and offer your services to that aren't embracing social media and the power of it. How important is it to you?
Oh, well, social media is massive to us. So all of my recruitment has been done through social media. I've had a member of the staff join 2 via LinkedIn and 1 via Facebook. And I think 1 was just kind of general noise on the social media that made them apply to our job. So I can 100% prove it's worked for recruitment from my perspective. Equally, we get quite a lot of speaking opportunities through LinkedIn. I think in a business environment, if you're B2B, LinkedIn is a fantastic tool.
Sure.
People don't understand how to use it effectively, though.
Mm. And that, again, is a good lesson, a good tip for someone that's setting up, get involved in those networks. Network as well, as much as you can, whether it's BNI or whatever networking arrangement is.
You've got to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And equally, what works today might not work tomorrow. So you've got to constantly reassess.
And
look at what's out there and ask people. Most people want to help each other. So if you meet somebody and they do lots of networking, ask them what's good to go to. Most people will want to help. You just need to ask.
Use your contacts. Absolutely. So, Laura, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, your company, what services you offer, what's the detail? What's the web address?
So our web address is www.consortiumbiz, which is biz.co.uk. Equally, as you all should be on your LinkedIn, you can find me on LinkedIn or all of the social media platforms. Myself or the company will have a profile.
Thanks, Laura. It's been lovely talking to you.
Mm.
And we look forward to welcoming the Business Book Club
be fun.
Team here for a session. But for now, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.